So what is the question? For some people it is very difficult to progress and for some people it is progressing fast. What is the difference? What is the difference?
Have to struggle a lot and fight so many odds and then going.
Prabhupada answered this by simple way, by previous conditioning. Simple. So I'm going to elaborate. The answer in simple words is, just tell them to just keep quiet. So previous conditioning means all your habits that you have, the way we have been brought up, the way we have been cultivated from childhood, whatever way you have done. Her question is, some people make progress very fast, some people progress have a lot of difficulty in making spiritual progress. So what is the difference? So I said that Prabhupada said that the answer is only previous conditioning. And previous conditioning is based on the way you are brought up in childhood, the way you have been cultivated by your parents, the way you have seen life when you are a child, and whatever, it's like this. Thought processes bring in habits. Is that right? Watch your thoughts, then it will become words, and words will become what?
Actions.
Actions will become what?
Habits.
Habits will become character. Right? So, throughout all the cultivation of the child, your character has been developed already in a particular way, which is based on your habits that you have adopted. And these habits either favor you in your Krishna consciousness or they hinder you in your Krishna consciousness. Simple. If you are unclean in your house, for example, from childhood, untidy, unclean, then when you become devotee, it becomes very difficult for you to become tidy and neat. But suppose, by the way, you have been already trained by your mother in Brahminical home culture and always neat and clean and tidy, then when you become devotee, it's very easy for you. You don't have any difficulty. The same things you are carrying on. Like my father taught me all the food Vaishnava etiquettes at home, which I realized after becoming devotee, I already learned all these things. So for me, not leaving anything in plate, not talking while prasadam, honoring prasadam with great respect, and not liking, disliking, was very natural because I have been trained in that way only. But for some people who are single children, pampered, they have been trained always to throw away things, not like to leave it, don't eat it, I don't touch this. Then when they become devotees, it becomes very difficult for them in temple. Hey, what is this? You are leaving this sabji, alu separately, totally separately, I don't eat this, I don't eat that. So it becomes difficult. Similarly, in childhood, have you been trained by your parents to sit down in one place and do something for a long time? Or you are restless all time, you are just 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there in childhood. Then you will have difficulty in sitting down and chanting your rounds. So everything is said in our psychology also. Everything is rooted in childhood. All your personality, all your bad and good qualities are all rooted in childhood. And second answer to this is your desire. Your desire. First is conditioning. That you may be helpless in one sense. You may have to demold yourself or decondition yourself by effort, austerity you can say. But desire is totally in your hand. Currently with your previous conditioning, what is your current desire? How strong is that? Based on that, your progress will be. And this part is always in your hand. Last time it developed, this part is totally in your hands. You may be in totally odd conditions, most adverse conditions, most unfavorable conditions in your life. But if your desire is strong, by definition of Rupa Goswami, nothing can stop you. Rupa Goswami says there is no material impediment in spiritual progress. Rather, they are not connected only. You can't even make any connection also. What is the connection between chikku and mango, except for sweetness? They're totally different. One is sweet, other sweet also, but you can't compare chikku with mango, na? You can't say which is a better sweet. No, they are two different sweets. You can't compare with them.
Situation and we are demanding something and we are not getting, that is again some spiritual demand is there, and we cannot afford it or we cannot get it. So is this because of our previous karmas?
Of course, about previous karmas. All this demand and supply situation is only because of karma.
But Krishna says that when a devotee takes birth, the next birth is in a favorable circumstances.
Yeah.
So that time it is, he still becomes a devotee or he?
Of course, he becomes a devotee. If he wants to, he can go to three destinations. He can go in Brahminical Vaishnava family, or he can go in aristocratic family. Or you can go to a very affluent, famous, beautiful family. Materially affluent family. I mean, famous and beautiful. You know, there are some families who are, everybody is beautiful there. Everybody is fair, blonde and green, all beautiful situations. So, it's physical beauty. Or it may be aristocratic, royal living.
What about the spiritual growth? How does it carry
on? So, it depends on what you want. Suppose I want to become a devotee. But I also want a comfortable situation materially. So, I will go in an affluent situation so that the affluent conditions can help me to not worry about my needs and I will progress. Somebody may say, I don't want wealth, I want only devotional service. So, I will go to a middle class, simple Brahminical family, but rightfully from beginning strong Krishna consciousness will be available to him. What Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, okay, I don't even want anything, I want to become a dog in the Vaishnava family. So, he is very clear, he doesn't want aristocracy or any beauty or any fame or any appearance. He is very, very clear ki wo ko devotion hi chahiye. Nothing else he wants. Now, rahi baat Aishwarya ka example you gave me, that the demand is so and high, you know, supply is also so high. But what it depends upon in the growth of a child is how satisfied the child is. See, in the middle class family, you may get something and you may be happy with it. So happy and satisfied. And in Aishwarya's family, even if whatever he gets, he may be still hankering for something which he doesn't have. So, it is not the volume or the value of the things that you get which will please you. What will please you is your consciousness only. If you have a satisfactory mentality, whatever you get, you are happy with it. Then that gives a particular cultivation to you. That you learn to be happy, whatever is available. A second class family will be very happy in Maruti car, and Aishwarya's son may not be happy in Mercedes also. So that doesn't mean he is better in condition. One who is satisfied carries forward a better consciousness. Satisfaction is a very rare commodity in material in our life. And you can be learning yourself to be satisfied in any given condition of life. So I will not say that only when you are born in a rich Punjabi family, you are well off in spiritual life afterwards. Or if you are born in a poor Maharashtrian village family, then you will be unhappy in your spiritual life and you will have great difficulty in spiritual life. No, it's not like that. It is how you train yourself or how you are trained yourself by family members to be satisfied in whatever you get. That will make your spiritual life easier or difficult for you. If you have been trained in childhood, somehow or other, always unhappy in whatever you get. Always you are some dissatisfaction is there. No, I didn't want that. I wanted this only. Why you got this to me? You know, always unhappy. Then when you become devotee, you will always be unhappy with the situations. Why I am in this condition? Look at that person. He is in such a condition. It's so easy for him to advance. Look at my condition. So unfavorable. It's not like that. It is how you see your situations around you. So ultimately, suppose you are not trained to be satisfied in your childhood, for example. Whatever circumstances, your father, mother, maybe whatever it is. But now, philosophically, you should learn by hearing regularly from sadhus that I must learn to be satisfied in my given conditions and be convinced that my given conditions are favorable for my ultimate progress in spiritual life. This is training, na? If by training I understand that I may look at my conditions are very unfavorable, very painful, very suffering, very challenging, very testing always to me. So I may feel always unhappy. What is this? Always I am in a testing situation. But if you think that this is the situation Krishna has tailor-made for me to make wonderful progress in Krishna consciousness and I should be thankful for Krishna for this, then in those situations also I will make tremendous progress. So what does progress depend upon? Spiritual progress depends upon how you see things, how you take things around you. The things in of themselves may not be very bad or good in one sense. They are there the way they are. If you have faith that this is what Krishna has arranged for me, tailor-made for me, customized, then you will be grateful. Externally, your senses will be unhappy, but soul will be tremendously making progress.
So,
because
I have a very bad habit, we always compare that person is in a better situation and I am in a difficult situation.
Neither that person is a better.
Neither
that person is in a better condition nor in bad condition. Both are in best conditions by the will of the Lord for that person. That is our philosophy. Our philosophy is not what the senses feel and the way we feel, the way we act. It's not like that. Our philosophy is not based on what you feel through your senses. Our philosophy is what is best for your soul. And there's nothing like bad or good for us in the situations. It's all how you see and whom you associate with, that way you learn how to see things. If you associate with karmic people, then they will see from karmic point of view, sensual point of view, material satisfaction point of view, and you will be always unhappy. But if you are with devotees who are always endeavoring to make progress in Krishna consciousness in given conditions, then you also will learn the same way. How, you can tell me, how 5 years of yours in life, for example, if they are educative, study, how they can be not tailor-made by Krishna for you to make progress, tell me. Can Krishna waste 5 precious years of your life just because you are studying in college or school or anything else? Whether you are a student, whether you are a baby, whether you are an adult, whether you are married, unmarried, whether you are elderly, all your situations from childhood to your end of life are tailor-made by Krishna to for your spiritual progress. Your responsibility is your desire and your consciousness. It is your responsibility. Rest thing Krishna will take care. If your desire and consciousness are not appropriate, then you will not get the full benefit of situations. If you struggle with the situation only given by the Lord to you, then you don't get the full advantage of the situation. What Krishna has in store for you in that situation, the mercy which is in store for you, you will not be able to access full of the mercy because you are struggling with the situation. You are not grateful. The moment you become grateful, the same so-called painful situation will yield you the full mercy which is in store for you. Get my point? Every situation made for all of us in life is having a full stock of mercy for you to make spiritual progress and to go most near to Krishna. It's already there. It's like what we say in KRA, 100% performance is already defined. If you do this, you are defined as 100% performance. But is it not depending on all of you that how much you make progress and how much performance appraisal you yield ultimately? 69% or 82%, 87%, it's up to you, no? The path is shown to you. The KRA is set for you. What is 100% also is shown to you. Everything is shown to you. Now, whose it is, hands it is ultimately? It is to you. And you can't even blame others, because of him I made only 80%, 20% is because of him I lost. You can't say that. Things are already put up in front of you, full explanation. Similarly, Krishna also has told you theoretically that everything that I do for you is for your best. You have to have faith in that. And the more faith you have got, the more complaining you will, less complaining you will become. The less complaining you are, less struggling you are, more mercy you will get. Is it logical? It's very simple actually, it's not very difficult. He helps by giving a good association and the situation. But also how much help you take depends on you. Help may be there. And you may say, no, I don't want to take help. I'll try my best on my own. Krishna always gives help. Now, how do you learn to appreciate the situation around you, that they are best for you, tailor-made by you? That is only possible by association of devotees. The catch point is that situations are same, they are not going to change. You are the same personality. Now you need to learn how to appreciate that situation for you as best for you made by Krishna. That consciousness you can yield and achieve by company of sincere devotees who are your true well-wishers. If by their counseling and by their help, if you are made to accept, wow, I now understand that this is best for me. Now I am not going to crib and cry. I'm going to just accept the situation as it is and take the full mercy stored in for me. This difference will take place only by association. And in your trying situations, if you are alone, a great difficulty in making progress. When do you need the devotees most? When you are in difficult situations. You require devotees all the time. But all the more you need them when you are in difficulty. In difficulty from your sense point of view, from your perception point of view, okay, it is difficulty. That's what you are perceiving as difficulty, but it is tailor-made for you. But to tolerate that difficulty and make full benefit of that in terms of spiritual advancement, you need devotees to help you. To pat you, to encourage you, sometimes to shout at you, sometimes to prick you, sometimes to appreciate you, encourage you. Whichever way it helps that time. You need devotees to help you. Take on what's up in store for you. What the devotees see? He see, at this time this devotee has got all opportunity to make progress. But somehow he or she is not making the progress. So devotee will see how to push him towards the making progress situation. And if you accept that help, immediately you will make progress. Or if you keep telling the reason, no Prabhuji, no Mataji, difficult hai, impossible hai, no, there are so many difficulties, then nobody can help you. Who has said that material life is easy? Nobody has said that. No sadhus claim that. No scriptures claim that. Nowhere it is mentioned. Not even Krishna says it is easy for in the material world. Who said that? Krishna who made the material world also, he says the same thing, it's very difficult. But at the same time he says that I am there to help you through all the situations. So it is seeking help and cultivating our consciousness. Ultimately not how nice lectures we give, how nice shlokas we quote, or how nice book distribution we do, or how nice fundraising we do, or how nice deity worship we do. That doesn't actually tell your barometer of the progress in spiritual life. What is your barometer of progress in spiritual life? It's a consciousness, how you think about it, how you take things, and what is your perception and what is your reaction to that. Right? Somebody may be uselessly sitting on the bed, having cancer, not doing anything. But he may be thinking, thanking Krishna, thank you my Lord. You have done for me what you have done is the best thing. I cannot trade this condition with anything. Doing nothing, he is sitting on the bed and just thanking Krishna. Isn't that he is making tremendous progress in that? He is not appearing to be doing deity worship now. He is not appearing to be doing lectures or anything that is externally, palpable. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was like that. He said that this situation of pain that I am going through is such a blessing on me. What I could not do in 20 years, I am able to do in 1 year through this situation. He said, I will not trade this situation for anything in this life. If somebody tells me, I will give you lesser pain and 10 years more, I will not accept that. Because he understood that in this situation is a perfect situation made by Krishna for me. He said, whatever I couldn't speak all these years, because I am in this situation, I am able to speak and it is effective also because I am in this situation. There are so many details, history about it. Whom all he spoke to and what all he spoke. Which he could not speak all these years. He said, now I am on deathbed. Whatever you may say, this is what I want to tell you. It was going straight in the heart of people who are hearing. So he understood, I cannot trade this situation with anything in life. Any cost. And externally he was in tremendous pain. His melanoma was in 7 months, 8 months time was spreading like wildfire in his body. Nobody would want to be in the situation. Amputation and widespread grade 4 melanoma spreading everywhere malignantly. Nobody would like to be in that situation. From external point of view, if you are watching a person like that. But what is his greatness? That he is simply grateful. In that situation which is most dreadful, is most dreadful. By being grateful, he is deriving the fullest benefit of the situation. Which is so awkward actually. But because of his consciousness, he is deriving full benefit of that. And to have that consciousness is a prerogative and free will of each and everybody else. Each and every one of us. You cannot say it is only for you and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj only. And it is not for me and you. It is very difficult. It's not like that. The free will of being grateful is with everybody. Nobody stops you from being grateful. Even if you get grateful for cancer, even for dying, and you feel it's very, you know, not good for me to die like that, not worthy of mine to go through all these pains. You may think like that, but you're grateful. Actually, gratefulness is such a virtue that it can surpass all your anarthas. It can destroy all the other anarthas that you have, if you have gratefulness. Humility and gratefulness. These two things are there, na? And grateful one can be only when he is humble. See, if somebody is proud, he can't be grateful. Proud man will think he deserves so many things. He doesn't get so many things, although he deserves. Only a humble man can be grateful. That he is unworthy of anything and he is getting, oh, this I am getting, oh, I am so unworthy of this, but I am grateful for this. And gratefulness actually attracts the mercy of the Lord. So you may feel I am in a particular situation in life. But if you are grateful in that situation and thankful to Krishna for giving you an opportunity to come near you in this situation, then Krishna will pull you out of the situation. And you will be like a lotus flower. And no connection with the situation around you, fully transcendental, blissful. Is it possible? It's possible. 100% possible. Spiritual bliss is not dependent on what you go through in material life. So you talk about, you ask basic question about progress, some people make and they don't make, because the consciousness they cultivate in devotional life, that will determine how they make progress. You can't say, वो तो क्या है, तो मफतलाल का लड़का है, उसको क्या problem है? Why you should not make progress? We are not like that, we have so many difficulties. What difficulty he has? No, he has his own set of difficulties. And I have my own set of difficulties. How to make progress in his situation is his prerogative. And how to make progress in my situation is my prerogative. Everybody has his own package. Whether you are Mafatlal, Bill Gates or Bill Clinton. It doesn't make any difference. It's all individual. You can't say, I have such a good Krishna conscious wife and you have such a good Krishna conscious husband. But she is, you know, very poor. She doesn't have a husband only. Then how will I make progress? It is not like that. We all have to make progress in our own given conditions, not his or her own given conditions. I will make progress only when I am in her condition, now I can make tremendous progress. In my condition is very difficult. No, it doesn't work like that. It works only this way. In my given situations, I have to make my progress in Krishna consciousness, because time is limited. I cannot say these situations are very bad, I can't make progress. If tomorrow things change, then only I can make progress. That means too much time you have lost of human life. And that's not possible for a sincere devotee to give this reason and that reason, that year 2001 was very good and 2005 was very bad, so I could not make any progress. You can't say that. Neither you can waste your life, important time of life, in that thinking process. I would say, come what may, whichever condition you are, I don't have any time to wait here. ऐसा होना चाहिए. This is how we should be. That fellow, na, we read always the motivational speaker. He has no hands and no feet. Have you seen him? He has no hands. No, he only has shoulder. He has no arms fully. No upper ex, no lower ex. He is here and here. इतना ही है. He is only trunk and head. And he is world's one of the greatest motivator speakers. He is like this much only. He is put up like this and he is wearing half shirt and no pant because there is nothing. And he said, ki, I thought of committing suicide because I don't have hands and feet. But then he said, why should I commit suicide? I have still two eyes, I have still two ears, one nose, I have got one good brain, I have got good digestive system, I have got good heart. Why should I commit suicide? And he became today one of the greatest motivator speakers. Masses come, famous guys, so many films are there on internet. So he can keep crying and commit suicide, or you can say, whatever I got bad bargain, I'll make the best use of that. And there are not one, there are so many examples like this. There's a Kathakali dancer, you know, who has no one foot is not there only. She is amputated from above knee. With the artificial leg, she has an arangetram. Huh? She has all the reason in the world. see my misfortune, see I wanted to become a dancer, but see I could not become, see at young age in my training period only I got injured, see my bad luck. She can say so many things, she can say. But for a person who want to achieve, nothing can stop. Even materially speaking, what to speak of spiritually speaking. Even materially, without tinge of devotion to Krishna, people have achieved such kind of material feats. Only the willpower is there. Only willpower. On the basis of willpower, they have done this. What to speak of spiritual? In the material willpower situation, only you are fighting with your own karmas. Your bank balance only your karmas. On the basis of your karmas and willpower, you are fighting yourself only. But in this thing, the Krishna and His mercy, and His holy name, and association of devotees, everything is at your support. All divine things are at your support. Material thing may appear puny and insignificant. So much support is there. So we have to. I know only one thing, that we cannot waste precious human life for variety of reasons that you want to give. Ultimately, you will be the loser. You can tell Krishna also in the end, okay, what Krishna, life was so difficult for me. He said, yeah, I really sympathize with you, but come next time. He will not give an excuse to you and say, oh yeah, yeah, I understand, you went to so much, you know, and you could not make progress. It's like, you know, it's like you go to an exam hall and you say, I have got loose motions today, I can't give the paper. So the teacher will say, okay, fine. But they will not pass you, na? They will not give a degree to you because you missed the exam. Hey, I got vomiting, sir. I just came to the hall and I vomited like anything. I should be given full marks because I have studied everything. But are you given excuse? You will be given sympathy. But will you be given excuse? No, you have to again give the exam. After you get well, you have to give exam and pass. So you may give Krishna all the reason, and Krishna will very lovingly, sympathetically, you know, fully, kindly say, oh yeah, I understand everything. But in the end, you have to send you back and try again, come back. So whose loss is it? He'll give another opportunity for you to again fight, because without fighting, nothing is easily available, na? So best is, in your given situations, rise up and fight. Based on the mercy of the Lord, fight, not on your own pride of your own strength. Begging the mercy of the Lord, you stand up and fight. And material life, na, yaad rakhna, is always unpredictable. You can never know what's going to happen. Never know. You may have wonderful plans of things, you know, suddenly things will unbelievably change such a way that you will be stumped, pula. You don't know what's happening. And this is a routine situation in the material world. It's nothing happening with him or her. Everybody goes through that. I just came from a long tour of Barsana. I thought I am so exhausted. I have to just go home and take some rest and get back to my work. And I came here and my father-in-law died in 5 minutes. In the 5 minutes, matlab, there are so many things afterwards, na? Unka wo fir antya sanskar hai, unka asthi visarjan hai, unka 12th day hai, unka shok sabha hai. There are so many ceremonies, so much energy, time, everything is consumed in that. So I felt sick. I never thought in dream also, okay, I will be welcomed by my father-in-law's death, you know. But this is what the material world is all about. It's very surprising, and that is not surprising at all. What is most surprising? Because it is the way the world is made is most unsurprising. You plan something and something else happens. Prabhuji came in 8 months' time, Arjuna went from here. He didn't even dream that in 8 months' time things will change so much. And neither he is in fault nor nobody is in fault. It's the situations are like that. And then I will give you everybody's life example to you. You can just peep in your life and see how things happened without any expectation that it will happen like that. Look at me, I have had my second wife pregnancy so nice, so beautifully going on, everything was so nice. Everything so went so well, happy. The best period we had in during the pregnancy. Delivery time came and the most unexpected thing happened that we can never imagine in life. So most unexpected thing happening is very surprising. But actually not surprising, because the world is already designed to be like that only. What is in store next for you, you don't know. So can you say, oh, then I cannot make any progress now, it's so unfavorable for me. No, Like Rasikananda Goswami, the mad elephant came from the gully, you know, like this. And the king was actually wanted to destroy him. That's why the king intoxicated the elephant and sent over him. And he put him on the other side of the gully lane, you know. And the elephant was running. And he had nothing to do. What he did was, there is no other weapon with me, there is no gun, there is no sword, there is nothing with me. So there was one dog barking. So what he did, you know, he lifted the dog and he threw over him. So barking dog fell on the elephant, elephant was stunned and he went behind him. Now he may say, I don't have any weapon, nothing is with me, what to do now? Whatever is available, he lifted. Maybe he could have lifted chair also, maybe lifted bullock cart, wheel also, he would have lifted anything. So he found a barking dog only threw on him. That is how one should take up situations in life. Marathi mein kahavat hai, you know, Ali angavar toh ghetli singavar. Thoda sa vulgar slang it is, but what it means is, it just came on me, I just took it on something. I did not worry about what is it coming on. I just took it, that's it. I will not be able to run away with it. Just take it. Is it Rasikananda only?
That Muslim king, he had challenged. He gave name also, Gopal, that elephant, to serve the devotees.
He gave the same elephant, I don't know. It was the same elephant. The point I always remember is that for a sincere, enthusiastic devotee, nothing can discourage him. In fact, hota hai na, yuddha ka sath yuddha. Initially, he is fighting. Arrows, this, that. As soon as one wound comes, is more enthusiastic. Second wound comes, is another more enthusiastic. Third wound comes, is more enthusiastic. As more blood comes out of his body, he's just like fire.
Both results are same for him.
Huh?
Death or win, both are same for him.
Now, what I'm trying to say is, without wound, he's not so encouraged. But when wound comes, he's like really encouraged. He's fighting like anything. This is how Arjuna and Bhima were there, you know. They will get encouraged. So this is the spirit of a devotee. If more difficulties come, he gets more enthusiastic. Because these difficulties are certificate for him that he is a sincere devotee. Difficulties are sent by Krishna. He gets that solace. Now Krishna is recognizing me and is now testing me for further progress. Difficult tests are given to those people who are most intelligent, na? Exam mein kaise hota hai? Difficult paper kiske liye nikalte hai? Most difficult exam mein nikalte hai. For difficult qualifying candidates. So devotee gets encouraged. Now Krishna is recognizing me. He is now planning to take me closer to him very fast. So let me also respond in the same way. Rather sitting and crying, oh, what to do now? Just accept it nicely. Our greatest fortune is what? The moment you say thank you, Krishna, immediately he comes fully at your rescue. Immediately. He's not like a frustrating master, you know, who frustrates you. He's not like the tyrant master who just, you know, makes fun on your suffering. As soon as you surrender to him, immediately his all help comes to you. Immediately. And with that devotee, that faith, the devotee will always makes progress. This is very wonderful, actually. I'm telling you, Krishna conscious life, na? The difficulty or not difficulty is so wonderful, actually.
Just last week I went to a miracle. Can I narrate it here?
Yeah, loudly. You can speak in this.
Actually,
you can speak in this. Take like this only. Take and hold. Only hold it below, huh?
I'm writing my post graduation from Cardiff, London. So what was happening was I did my assignment in the month of January, and I sent my assignment. There was a DVD and there was some recording of my consultation with the patient. It was a session that was there, and after that my laptop conked off. So I tried very hard to get my data back, and I could not retrieve any of my data from the laptop. So there was just an email from Cardiff University telling me that all the students that the DVD that you had sent, we would like to have the notes back. And I was like, my laptop has conked off, so what should I do? Because the DVD they have got, but they have not got my notes, which is some assignment that I had to write. It was 2-3 pages. So I was wondering what to do. Should I write it again? And I was really in a very bad shape. And then I said, Krishna, what to do now? So I was very frustrated, and I was shouting at everyone. And then I came here. I had gone to one friend's house, and then when I came back, one devotee met me on the way, and she said, Mataji, shall we go to Girdhari temple? I said, Girdhari temple? And I was already in a bad mood. I said, what Girdhari temple now? And I was not in a very good mood, and I said, okay, let's go. Then I cannot say no, because if someone says you come to Girdhari, that means Lord is calling you. So we should never say no for these things. So I went along just like that. I took darshan, I prayed to Prabhupada. I never prayed for my assignment. And this news was going on in my head that, okay, I have to get back, and how should I do it? This was a problem that I was facing. But I just put the dandavats, I looked at the Lord, and I came back. I did not ask anything from the Lord. I was not in the mood only to ask anything. Lord, save me from this situation, or do something for me, or please solve this problem. I did not say anything like that. I just came back home. Then again this thing was going on, how to get my assignment back. Should I have to write everything again? So I called up my friends, then there was no answer from them. Though, Vinita, I think you write an application that you have your laptop has conked off and nothing can happen now. And so maybe they will, the hard copies that you have sent, they will scan and send you the hard copies. Then you can upload your assignment. So I said, this is a very long procedure. How should I do it? So I was just sitting on the laptop, and actually my laptop has got Radha Madhav. Again, I was thinking, Krishna, what is this? Why do you have you put me in this situation? And I always trust you, I always pray to you, and this is what you are doing to me. So when I was working on this, then suddenly one idea came to me. I thought, I have taken a hard copies. Okay, if I have taken a hard copies, that means I should be having it on my pen drive. Otherwise, how I'll take the hard copies? So then I immediately got my pen drive, and I was searching for those assignments. And thankfully, I got my full assignment on the pen drive. So when I saw it on my pen drive, and I saw that, okay, they are the same assignment that they have lost, and they want me to upload now. So I immediately ran to my altar, and I said, Lord, thank you very much. And then I recollected, okay, so that was why Girdhari had called me. Because I went to Girdhari, and that I didn't ask anything, but he solved my problem. And that is how Krishna works. That I didn't ask that, Lord, I'm facing this problem, or this is happening to me. And I was almost scolding that devotee, that why did you call me to Girdhari at this time? Come on, I can't go to Girdhari. But actually I went, and then when I came back, I got a totally different result. I got my assignment, and I uploaded that night itself. So this was like, you know, it's a miracle for me. And this is how Lord reciprocates. You don't ask anything, you don't say anything, but he knows what is going inside. And he solved my problem in minutes, which was such a big problem for me. So, I cooked for him. No, I told him that, Krishna, you have helped me, I will cook something very nice for you. So next morning I made some sweet rice and I gave it to him. Hare Krishna.
It's chant and be happy. I thought this is probably one of the things what Mataji was discussing in that, like how people might having a different understanding of that. So we chant to be happy, and by chanting we will be happy. If that is what is the expectations of which people start it, then many times people don't feel. So like how you have been explaining that happiness is in the satisfaction of what you get. It has nothing to do with what it is. So chanting is the process of devotional service, and in each devotional service, like if you are happy, then you'll be happy. If you're not happy, not be happy. So listen to one of the Bhagavatam lectures where Srila Prabhupada's devotees were mentioning that actually Srila Prabhupada has not mentioned this thing. Srila Prabhupada said, chant and make your life sublime. And his disciples have put this slogan forwards and Srila Prabhupada approved it. But ultimately, how we understand the slogan is what makes us happy or unhappy. So I thought this is what was going on in my mind when we were discussing. So can you explain
actually
that?
Chant and be happy is first make Krishna happy. When you chant, you make Krishna happy by your chanting, then you'll be happy. That is the biggest what you call that point, you know, key point. We shouldn't chant to make ourselves happy. Please understand this. Then there is something wrong, wrong direction we are taking in life. We are chanting to make Krishna happy. That's why I told you in the morning, just be enthusiastic, you know, just don't chant like this in a lethargic way. This is the only chance for you to call Krishna for shelter, like a baby crying for Krishna. You can't be so lukewarm about it, you know, because it is meant to please Him. And what pleases Him is the bhav of chanting. When you, the way you chant, that pleases Him. Not number of rounds that pleases Him. It's the way you chant that pleases Him. And once He is pleased, you have to become happy. You cannot be not happy when you pleased Him. So, it is said that it is very nice to become Krishna conscious. Then it is nice to remain in Krishna conscious life. And it is best to remain happy in Krishna conscious life. It is the most difficult. You can remain in Krishna consciousness, always cribbing and complaining. But remaining in Krishna consciousness in happy condition, in satisfactory and grateful situation of consciousness, is what is expected from us. Then you will realize that when Krishna says it is susukham kartum avyayam, how true it is. That in, then you will realize it. So the satisfaction is the basic prerequisite that you should be having in your life. And that is all up to you, to be satisfied or not in the situation around you in life.
So means, like, there are two entities, right? Chant and be happy. Like, you,
there are two different entities in one sense. In one sense they are two different, but they are connected. You should chant irrespective of whether you are happy or not. That is the message behind it. Should not wait till you become happy to chant. It's like, you know, telling the doctor, ki, I will come to you only when I am alright. I am so sick, I can't come to you now. It's not like that. If you are so sick, you have to be with the doctor right now. But you can't say, I am so sick, I just can't come to you. So it's like that, I cannot chant till I become happy. Because, you know, chanting has to be done in a very nice consciousness. I am so unhappy, how can I chant now? No, my dear friend, you have to chant now. For that situation only you have to chant. Whether you are happy or not, you still have to chant to please Krishna.
It is a marketing slogan. Chant, then you will become happy.
Which is right, no? But then how to chant to then become happy, is that we will teach you.
First you come to us.
Hare Krishna. Others have any questions? Others have?
I had a question regarding, and you saying that for field devotees, what Krishna will reply. Technical question.
Huh?
This is a technical question, and many times asked that those devotees who don't wish to Vaikunth Loka, who deals with them and how is it? In Ganga or who?
All those who are devoted to Krishna, only Krishna deals with them.
But you, unless you are perfect, you can't see Krishna, and then who will be.
You don't have to see Krishna for him to be dealing with you.
Who will judge you after that?
You don't need to see Krishna for having He judge you or deal with you. He doesn't have to be there to deal with you. Once you have taken your charge, na, once you have said, ki, I am yours. Huh? What is that slogan for that? What is the Sanskrit word? Tat, tvam. No. Okay, I was saying that before. Any one word, I forgot. I used to always say that in front of Krishna. I forgot that word now. Anyway. So once you say, na, I am yours. Once you say, I am yours, whatever the word, I'll find out. Whenever you say, I am yours, from that time Krishna takes charge of you. For that, tava asmin. This is what we say, tava asmin. I am yours. So you don't need to see Krishna for that situation, that unless he sees you or he sees you, he cannot take charge of you. It's not possible like that.
Yeah, like other people, nah? Yamduta will take them and he is judged by Yamraj. So for devotees who are not...
Vishnu and his assistants only.
They will take
and do that you are needful for you. From one place to another, even if you have to come back again also, they will place you. Where to place you, where, which womb, they will take care of you.
You might get happy if Vishnu Dhuja will come, but
then they'll say no.
If they see Vishnu Dhuja will be happy, now I am going to Vaikuntha, but they'll say no, you have to take birth again.
Prabhuji, how you can imagine, Prabhuji, just imagine that you are, this. I am a devotee who has not fulfilled my 100% goal in this life. But I am sincere, somehow Yoginam, what is that, Yoga Brashta Vijayate, somehow I am Yoga Brashta, I am not yet completed. So you think Krishna will send Yamadutas for me?
No.
Yeah, there is no answer between these two. And
No. My logical brain tells me no. I don't think Krishna is so cruel that he will send Yamadutas for me. No, I have endeavored and somehow I have been 85%, 15% remaining. So he will take care of you, na? So when you are placed in that situation of Suchinam, Sri, Matam, whatever, he will personally deliver you there and help you further progress from there. He will not send Gundas in between to take you to next destination. Is this logical, probably? If you love somebody, and somebody has failed in his endeavor, you think you will harass him, punish him and torment him for the next destination? No, you will encourage him. Say, okay, go ahead.
Only for sinful people, not even pious people, as mentioned. But in between, what are there? And Vishnu Dutta is for those who are going back to God. In between, those people are there. There may be pious people also.
Piety and sinful nature are both sides of same coin. Please understand this. What we are talking about is devotional service. It is not in the terms of piety. Devotional service is not piety. So this thing is different. Even for a pious person, so-called pious person, still Yamdutas may come. What Yamdutas don't come for is for devotional service. Wherever there is devotional service performed, even to certain extent, they have been ordered not to go there. Somebody else's zone. Somebody else will come and take care of
villages,
you.
Na? Because there were, this knowledge was there, so although people stopped practicing devotional service, but still what they do, when a person is about to die, then they put Tulsi Mala around his neck and put whatever tilak.
But even to get that by somebody is result of your karma. Please understand.
People have this, they still do it.
Because to have people to do that for you is your credit that you are getting that opportunity. Otherwise, you may have people like that to do around you, but you may die in England. Then how they will put around you? Again, your deservedness determines that. It's not ordinary. You may just be whole life looking like a karmi, and suddenly in the end of your life, your relatives put Ganga Jal, Tulsi, everything around you. It's not ordinary. It's not accident. It can't take as accident.
जैसे
यहाँ पर कोई आता है, it's not accident. Yeah. He cannot reach Bhaktivedanta Hospital by some pious activities. No, it has to be a devotional connection. Then only he will reach here. That's why I always say whoever reaches here now has to be by definition a most fortunate person by the dint of his activities in the past. He has to be fortunate. Otherwise, you can't enter this building, because as soon as you enter this building, you see two pure devotees, Tulsi and Prabhupada, and you hear the holy name of Krishna. For which, to receive this, you must be qualified. Including you and me. We also enter the building, by the way. Every day. No, it's not my pride. I am saying I am fortunate. What fortune, how you can encash the fortune is up to you. Or destroy the fortune. But fortune is with you. I am only saying I am fortunate. I am not saying I am great. I'm fortunate. Encashing the fortune is with you.
Tulsi is kept besides Lord, but it is, should be kept besides devotees, like
Prabhupada. Yeah, when we give Bhagavatam, also Tulsi is kept, no?
But usually
it is
near the feet,
like
that, no?
Where?
In Prabhupada's where sits, no?
It's not near feet, it's separately kept. Never at feet of Prabhupada.
But this standard, you keep Tulsi?
Not standard. I had the idea when the asana was made, and Maharaj ko pucha, Maharaj said very good. So I said good. I just thought, why not put two nice tulsis, fully blossom tulsi, and I put it, and Maharaj was very happy to see it. Wonderful.
it's giving an opportunity for many people to watch.
Arre,
it's not offered.
Tulasi dekhi judaya pran, madhava toshani jani. Just by looking at her, you get purified. What to speak of putting water?
They always carry them. Wherever they go, they carry
on the head. So nothing happens by accident, probably. Nothing is accident. You are even taking birth in that family in the village of Bihar also is not accident. You may not do anything in life, but at the end you are supposed to get Tulsi around you, and this is also something with your past life connection is there. It can't be accident. Nothing is available to us unless we deserve it. Nothing is free. Everything you have to earn by your endeavor. And full opportunity for endeavor is given to everybody. That much only we have to think. Oh, he has more opportunity than me. I am so unfortunate. I don't have any opportunity only. It's not like that. Everything good or bad is always the opportunity.
Sometimes it happens that all the desires we make, all the plans we make,
all fail.
They are failed completely and miserably. So, what does that mean? That does that rule out the proximity to Krishna?
Tasyaham anugrami harishe tadhanam shanai. His response to you may be positive or may be negative. But that doesn't mean that he is less dear to you or more dear to you. Or you are more dear to him or less dear to him. His response to you does not determine how dear you are to him. He may take away everything and make you completely deprived, but that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. And he may give everything what you desire, as per your planning he may give you. It doesn't mean he loves you more. He is just doing the needful. At that given situation of life, what is needful for your spiritual progress towards him, he will do. Right now, your exam is there tomorrow, and you are prone to cold, so mother will not give ice cream to you. And after exam gets over, mother will fire ice cream to you. Does it mean that she loved you more when she gave ice cream to you, and she loved you less when she didn't give ice cream to you? Both the times she loved you equally, but she did the needful to you. Is it a right example? Clear? Like that, don't think that Lord is very merciful on you when he fulfills all your plans. And don't think he is so cruel to you when he doesn't fulfill your plans. He is just doing the needful. Have faith in him that he is doing the needful. And have faith that it is good for you. Don't get conditioned.
Different karmas also.
But again, karmas don't come in the way of your spiritual progress.
Again, circumstances, no? Like we usually plan from material point of view. Like even if you become devotee, a person has health problem, he'll have health problem.
You should not fail in your endeavor and making plan, but don't be attached to what you expect. And don't get conditioned if things happen in your way. Don't get conditioned to happening the same way. Okay, next time also same thing should happen. If you get conditioned to anything, then you suffer. All depends on faith. If you have faith, then whether mangoes come or whether chikus come, you will be always happy because you know it's for good for me. The cup that Lord you have given me, why shouldn't I drink it? Jesus Christ says that. No? He doesn't say whether it is, Socrates said that. Whether it is poison or amrit, because it is coming from you, I will drink it without even examining it. Because I know it is coming from you. It can never be for bad for me. So he drank it. Prahlad never said, why poison for me? I'm your devotee. So if you want me to drink poison, I'll drink poison. And then Lord chose not to have the poison act on him. That is Lord's plan. But he said, I will drink it. Lord's plan is to put me under elephant. Okay, fine. Elephant chose not to stamp on him. That is Lord's plan. That is a different thing.
Although the possibility is there that anyone can become devotee, but like, suppose I would have been born in a Muslim family, probably I wouldn't have become devotee.
No, sir. Who told you that?
I think.
You mean to say every Muslim is not a devotee?
It's
a very bold statement you are
making. Whatever they do, but they do in their way.
No, Prabhuji. In every situation of life, you have opportunity to become a good devotee of Krishna. Christianity,
they don't become
Christian, usually that is their choice. It's their choice. like Russians or Siberians or Ukrainians, you may say, you may not become devotees because it's like hell only there, another hell in the earth is there.
But you have to go out of the way to become, and but for a Hindu pious family, it is easy, like natural becoming. So that
all these things are relative, Prabhuji. Something which is out of the way according to you, something which is easy for you, is all relative. How many people have been spoiled by taking birth in a high class Hindu family? Aren't they true? So many Indians, like our family, high class, Rupa Goswami's caste we are from. But everybody is a pure devotee in my caste. All smokers and fish eaters and all nonsense political people are there in my caste. It's not relative, it's all relative. What you think around you is. The fact is, it is favorable for your Krishna consciousness. That much I know. And you can become pure devotee Muslim also. Doesn't stop you. Taj Bibi, Yas Khan, and that devotee who's, what is it, drama was made na, recently. Sala Bega. Lal Bega and Sala Bega. Nothing stopped them by becoming born out of Muslim father. Become pure devotee of the Lord. So many stories are there. Nothing stop Meera Devi, Meera Bai. She drank poison also. She said the same thing. You want me to drink poison, then drink the poison.
But even by becoming a good Muslim, they can achieve the same destination. What
we rule is same. If you remember the Lord at the moment of death, you will achieve the Lord. Whether you remember Allah or Jehovah or whatever name you call the Lord by, remember that Lord at the moment of death, you will achieve. How can Bhagavad Gita be false? He cannot say only for Hindus this rule is applicable.
Hmm.
Is it said like that? No.
Anthropology.
Being Muslim is just an external condition.
Exactly, it's a cloth.
You cannot affect the internal.
When we say nothing material is hindering one's spiritual progress, becoming born in Muslim family or Hindu family is a material fact. It doesn't affect. By rule it doesn't affect. You apply the rule and think, na. Taking birth in XYZ family, XYZ dharma or caste, is a material situation. It cannot by rule hinder my spiritual progress. Simple. So how does being born in Muslim family hinder one's spiritual progress?
No.
By definition, no. By choice, yes. By choice, I may say, hey, I am the Muslim here. I cannot do anything. So
you
may not.
You said, if one is humble and grateful to the Lord, then
that you can be in any condition, na?
So if the person is Muslim, if he is grateful to Allah and humble, then whatever condition they may be.
Lord will not be assisting him in progressing towards him? Just because Lord will say, no, he is born in Muslim family, so I can't assist him. Will Lord say that? Lord doesn't see him as Muslim first of all. The first foremost thing. You and me see him as a foreign. Lord sees his my dear child, my part and parcel, my loving part and parcel. Is born in this cow body, is born in tiger body. Lord is seeing like that. It doesn't make him, Lord never sees like us the way we see. So according to philosophy, equal opportunity is given to every living entity. How you use it is up to you. How you see it is up to you.
But
how you are grateful?
Like poor, when difficulties are there, there are chronic difficulties, are there. And then both ways is correct, like, it's because of the karma and it's because of the Krishna's plan.
Karma.
But one is positive and is
karma. Karma will act upon you till you are not fully surrendered to the Lord. Karma will be applicable to you till the time you are not fully surrendered. To the degree you are surrendered, the karma to that degree will be acting upon you. To the degree you are not surrendered, the karma will keep acting upon you. The degree you are surrendered, karma will not act upon you.
If you see the karma as a, this thing, so it is like a discouraging.
It's like the karma has taken hands and feet away from that man. So does it discourage him? It can discourage him or it cannot discourage him also. Who is that depending upon? It's up to you. So in one sense, yes, karma can discourage you. In another sense, it may not discourage you. The choice is yours. Simply the choice is yours. We may go on cribbing, Prabhuji, what to do? This is my situation. Father never left any property for me. you know, we were born like this and raised like this, what to do? Your physician father has left everything for you, what difficulty is there for you?
You keep saying that.
You also going?
Like, main thing is our mind. So if like mind, na, that also is a result of our previous activities. And like being optimist or pessimist or whatever, na, although if I am a pessimist, I may see someone, I may get inspired. But very difficult for me to become optimist. That is one thing, like the person is, doesn't have legs and feet, but because of, he might not be devoted, I don't know what he is. But thing is that he is an optimist, even for material purpose. And like, but that is the big thing of karma, that is also there.
Puji, karma has a role, no doubt about that. Yeah. But karma cannot affect you absolutely, I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely can't affect you. Uh-huh.
Karma cannot affect you absolutely. If you want to make progress in Krishna consciousness, karma cannot affect you absolutely. Karma will always be there, na? What is there? Just by becoming devotee, I don't become millionaire immediately next day. My karma is all wiped off, next day I'm millionaire. It's not like that. Things will continue. If my nose is this way, teda, 45 degrees, it will remain 45 degrees only. So suddenly I become devotee, it won't become straight next day. It is whatever it is. If I am one eye blind, you know, what can I do? So one may say, once you become devotee, all karmas are wiped off. So blind man should become visible. He should become able to see. But it doesn't happen that way, na? Devotional life is not that cheap. That you become devotee and tomorrow you will get money and you get vision and you will get position and fame. It's not so cheap. Krishna doesn't want to make it like that. That is karmakand. Karmakand is much, much below, you know, devotional service. And what we are talking about is karmakand now. That I do this and I get that. Devotional life is not like that. In fact, devotional life, whatever you have also will be stolen away by the Lord. That is totally different. You may think, oh, I had so many things. By becoming devotee, I lost everything. So, there's a plan behind it. If you understand the plan, then you'll be blissful. If you don't understand the plan, you'll keep crying all the time. It's like that. Arey, hum log bahut bhagyavan log hain. We are very, very fortunate. That the Lord is somehow giving us this understanding through devotees, you know. Such hope is there. Otherwise, in this hopeless material life, Prabhuji, living is extremely difficult. Without Krishna, living in this hopeless material world, which constantly only terrorizes you and torments you, it's not easy to live. But that same not easy to live life has been become so blissful by Krishna consciousness. Isn't it a great fortune of ours? How people are suffering outside, you know? And how devotees are suffering, but they are so blissful. In spite of their suffering, it's just because of this Krishna consciousness. That's because the process of bhakti has made your life so wonderful and sublime. Let's look at it like this. Then you can always remain blissful in all conditions of life. My latest realization is, out of my daughter's sickness, is you chant 16 rounds early morning, and you are ready to face any damn thing in life. Which is my experience. It's not a fresh realization, it's an old realization, but it's refreshed. Revived and refreshed. She underwent a life and death situation 3 days back. And she came out of it. Yeah. She left today, yeah. Went home today. Septicemia. Because of unknown source of infection. Not found out.
Culture
nil, nothing. But stool normal, urine normal, everything normal. Chest normal. Nothing was found out. Only 27,800 WBCs and CRP of 205 and platelets down. That's the only condition that was put in front of us. So what I realized that all these days, I was getting my 4 and chanting all my rounds. Wherever it was, whether it was devotees or alone or whatever. Believe me, after 16 rounds chanting na, attentively, I felt ki anything can happen. I don't mind. I'm ready. It's like that, you know. So then I felt ki only we feel miserable when we don't chant properly. Miseries can affect you only when there is no shield of proper attentive chanting. When the proper attentive chanting shield is around you, Nothing in the world can affect you. Such power is there in the holy name. And still we repeatedly fail in doing that. Perpetually we keep failing in doing that simple thing. Prabhupada said today morning in one lecture that the only austerity in Kali Yuga is to follow four great principles and to chant Hare Krishna. There is nothing else expected out of you. No other tapasya is expected out of you. You are not fit for that. To any tapasya. This is only tapasya.
Bhagavatam mentions how a vanpas should live. My God. Just by hearing that you get scared.
Don't get scared of any ashram, any phase of life. Just stand Hare Krishna and be happy. That's what I want to say. Okay, say. So my dear friends, and thank you for enlivening me, encouraging me by your prayers and by your mercy. Hare Krishna.